Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Life. It is Jim Cooley along with my co-host Eric Smith. Roberto Falcon should be calling in momentarily. We are live. This is episode number 6 coming up tonight. Once again, returning to the Life will be Michael Franzese, the Yuppie Don, who has joined us here before and has decided to come back. So this should be a pretty good show. We've got a lot of stuff in store for you guys tonight, a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm just going to go put this on, put this in the commission right now, let everybody know that we are live. Still waiting on Roberto to call. Once again, so about a half hour from now, 5 o'clock California time, 8 o'clock New York time, we will be getting Michael Franzese on the line. Sorry, guys, this kind of jumped up on me. I'm trying to get in here, get everyone going, make sure Roberto's calling in. And once again, the call-in line, guys, and we'll be having call-ins later on. A few of you are going to be able to call in and talk to Michael Franzese when he comes on at the top of the hour, but we're only going to take a few calls when that happens, and after that, we'll have a few more calls from there. I want to talk a little bit about Eric Smith, about Junior Gotti's kid, John Gotti. I guess he'd be John Gotti the third, fighting MMA. He's 5-1. There's been a big story going around about how good he is and how he's trying to shake the stigma and the notoriety of his name. I mean, 5-1, that's a pretty good record for a kid that's just coming up in MMA.
Yeah, you know, people are going to try and throw him to the dogs a little bit. If you're fighting John Gotti, you're going to try your most to come out there and not be a poster boy for a John Gotti ass whooping, because you know it's going to get media coverage. And these are smaller shows, so it's not like it's a UFC or anything like that by any means.
Right.
So they're more than likely on the headline type thing. But if you're his opponent, yeah, you're going to give 110% to try and make sure that you're not getting the L.
Absolutely. And we're joined on the line now by Roberto Falcon. What's going on, Roberto?
Yo, what's up?
Not much, man. What are you doing?
What are you guys talking about? John Gotti?
Not you. We're not talking about you. All right,
yeah,
guys,
right,
so we're all three here now. Let's go ahead and let's get this intro started here real quick. Here we go.
I know you know where they are, so tell me.
Before I do some damage, you won't walk away from
me. I'm going to make them an offer again with you.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Carry that stink of the streets with you the rest of your life.
I like the stink of the streets. It makes me feel good. I like the smell of it. It opens up my lungs.
I want you to get this fuck where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy Boy Elliot Ness. I want him dead. I want his family dead.
I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me.
You can act like a man. What the hell do?
Now, if I ever see you here again, you die just like that.
In our thing, you get sent for. Go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend.
All right. There you guys
I know
go
you
right
know
there.
Where they are.
The intro to the show, and we're now joined by Roberto. Roberto, we were actually talking about John Gotti the third, John Gotti Jr.'s kid fighting MMA. Have you heard anything about this?
Yes, I've seen him on I'm not that familiar with Twitter. I do have an account there. I see him pretty frequently on there quite a bit. I don't really know anything about him, his career or anything like that. To be honest with you, I'm not that big on MMA. I'm not that familiar with it. And, you know, who's big, who's not big. Like, is he considered like a well-known fighter in MMA at this point?
I mean, no, he's an up-and-coming fighter, but he's 5-1. He's only lost one fight. He's looking pretty good. He's getting some mainstream publicity. Obviously, some of that is coming from the fact that his grandfather is John Gotti and his dad is John Gotti Jr. But either way, 5-1, me and Eric were talking about before you came on, that's a really good record.
Okay, so he's not so he's basically not like somebody who's just basically capitalizing on the name and, you know, getting, you know, I don't know, he's not winning. In other words, all right, what would you say? Have there been any fights where it looked like he could have gone either way, but you think he might have gotten it because of his name, or has he been winning fights outright? Because I haven't seen really any performances by him.
No, the truth is I have not seen him fight either, which is crazy because I'm in the MMA industry. But you know, all his fights I'm assuming are going to be in the New York area. Let me just pull him up real quick on Tapology. But no, I have not seen him fight, so he's not fighting on TV. He is on a 4-fight win streak. He won his first fight. Lost his second, and then he won 4 in a row. And honestly, he's had one decision, a knockout, another decision, and a knockout. So only two of his fights have gone to decision. He's got two knockouts on his record. So, I mean, he's looking pretty good. He fought Triton Fights, which is a good company. So, you know.
I saw his fight went to
like
a decision.
Yeah, it was interesting
to
see how that's going to go. Okay,
what's
that?
I saw one fight went to decision, and he definitely had a – it wasn't a, you know, let's give him the nod. He won the fight, and he fought good.
So there you go. So John Gotti the third, John Gotti Jr., Junior Gotti's kid, fighting MMA. I got to tell you something while we're on this subject of the Gottis, and you're not going to like this very much for a couple of reasons, Roberto Falcon. I was talking to Angel last week, and I told her I would wait and announce this on the show. I didn't want to say anything in the group. She sent me a screener of the Gotti movie with John Travolta. So I watched the entire movie twice. I got to tell you, man, this movie is up there with The Godfather. It's better than Goodfellas. It's
you're
with talking, The God. It may not be as good as
that.
The Godfather.
You're just saying that.
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the movie is good. Like, I went into it.
Wait, it's not April 1st, man. It ain't April 1st, right? It's not April 1st. It's not April 1st, right?
No, it's not. It's not. It's the 18th of July. No, it's good. I watched it twice. It's really, really, really good. I think Travolta nailed it. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Why are you so speedy?
Wow. I don't
I'm
know
fucking
I just,
with you, man. I haven't seen the movie. I'm fucking with
you.
You
fucking asshole.
I knew you were going to be so brokenhearted if this movie was good.
It did actually hurt me a little bit. That it might be good.
That was Eric's idea, by the way, not mine.
Yeah, we actually got a Roberto speechless there for a second.
You got me. That don't happen often. You can't get me speechless that often. Fuck, man. You got me. Yeah, that was good.
That's funny.
To be honest with you, I guarantee that it's going to leak, man. I bringing that up, it's funny you brought that up, because I do feel that somehow a copy will leak. It will leak out.
Not to talk over the top of you, but I was talking to John Alight like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he told me that this movie no longer has distribution, that it's not even going to come out, that the distribution company gave up on the movie and they can't find distribution. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I'll be honest with you. Up to a point, there was all these release dates of this movie in August, and now there's no release.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it, because look at The Irishman. Look at The Irishman, how they finally had to go with a deal with the Netflix. To be honest with you, number one, I think the industry is kind of like getting, you know, like played out a little bit maybe with these movies about, you know, these gangsters. I mean, not that I'm saying the genre will ever die out completely, of course, but look, unless it's a superhero flick, I mean, I think that any type of movie that's not like superhero or ultra indie is having a problem getting distributed, to be honest with you, especially considering the fact that I think a lot of people are just, you know, they're not stupid. They know that it's going to be a kind of a whitewashed Lifetime version of the John Gotti story. It's not going to be hard-hitting, you know.
Let's not gloss over the fact that this fucking movie cost $50 million to make. So if they don't get distribution, I mean, they just coughed up $50 million.
To be honest, that's not really that much money considering in this day's movie market.
Only $50 million, Roberto.
No, I don't know. I'm saying.
Or even $60.
But I'm saying that Boardwalk Empire, for example, the set alone cost $50 million to make. It was right here in Greenpoint. They had to build a set. Scorsese built it to, like, he's a fanatic, from what I understand, about period pieces, and everything has to be perfect. And just the set alone was $50 million. And the pilot alone for Boardwalk it cost almost that to make. And that was for an HBO television series.
Right.
I mean, $50 million is a lot of money, but it's really not that much money considering, you know, although on the other hand, too, you got to figure there's no CGI in this movie. There's no, you know, so $50 million is quite a bit. I guess the bulk of that went to Travolta. Had to have, right? I mean, his salary alone.
He's been going around doing the whole interview thing, saying that it was a passion project for him and that he just wanted to do it because he had so much respect for John Gotti. And whoopty whoop wop wop, but his wife's in it, right? Isn't John Travolta's wife in it?
Yeah.
So you know, the bulk of that money went to the Travolta family, and then most of that went to Scientology. So Tom Cruise got paid more than anybody else on this movie.
I think they had
Scientology.
To
that's right. Supposedly they used Scientologists. Also,
yeah, I wonder what they paid for the rights. That's right, Eric. I wonder what they paid for that. Does anybody know? Do you know, Roberto?
Oh, no. I have no idea. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if I don't think Gotti Jr., obviously, I don't think he's that smart, right? So I don't think he probably negotiated and probably got what he could have gotten.
That's how you really
feel. Right? I honestly believe that he probably, you know, didn't get what he could have gotten for the rights just because he was so, like, wow, John Travolta. Look, I live here in Brooklyn, right? The whole subculture, Italians, where John Travolta can do no wrong. You know what I mean? Especially a certain generation. Like, I got, like, Gotti's wife, for example, Victoria Sr., I'm sure she just, the fact that John Travolta is playing a husband, I guarantee they would have paid him to do it. You know what I mean?
Come on, dude. That's Vinny Barbarino, dude. He's a sweat hog.
That's
what's
I'm talking
the matter
about.
With you?
That's that generation. That's not really my, you know, I'm not that young, but I'm a little bit
come
younger
on, man.
Than
you were alive being, for Welcome Back, Kotter.
Of course, man.
You
I was a teenager when that shit came out.
In your wallet.
But I thought Barbarino was a fucking idiot, to be honest with you. you know, Juan Epstein was my man on that show. Juan Epstein, man, the Puerto Rican Jew. You don't get better than that, man.
You know they're doing a remake of that right now. Yeah, they're doing a movie with Ice Cube.
What? Get the fuck out of here. You're
not
going to get me
God,
twice,
Ice Cube playing Gabe
You're not
going to
get me twice on one show.
No, this time is the truth. This time is the God's
honest
truth.
Gabe Kaplan is going to play the Kata role?
No,
really?
No. Ice Cube's going to play Gabe Kaplan's role. This one's the
truth.
This one I'm not making up. This one I'm not making up.
I can see that. But you know what? The world is so fucking politically correct now that just the way they used to joke around about him being a Puerto Rican Jew and all that shit, like I think how his parents met, like, I don't know, picking each other's pockets or some shit. I remember Freddie Prinze used to tell a joke about being Hungarian and being Jewish. Freddie Prinze Sr., the one that killed himself, about how he was Hungarian and Puerto Rican and how his parents met because they were trying to pick each other's pocket on a street corner on the Lower East Side. And, you know, like people, you can't even tell shit like that anymore because everyone's politically correct now.
I was watching 16 Candles the other day, John Hughes flick, Molly Ringwald, Anthony Michael Hall.
They called each other faggots
like 10 times. And the whole time I'm thinking, dude, you could never say that on a movie today. You just couldn't get away with it.
Everyone gets offended, man. God forbid.
Yeah.
No, Michael, what do they call that? Listen,
it's the Puerto Ricans, dude. You can't, the Puerto Ricans are fucking troublemakers.
Look, I'm not even allowed to say Puerto Rican being Puerto Rican. I call myself a stick. Is that allowed? I mean, is that okay? I mean, I got to ask you. I got to write a letter into somewhere and ask permission or some shit when I kicked out of the union somewhere. Because seriously, it's fucked up. It's like the politically correct thing. I get caught up on what these videos, anti-SJW, the social justice warrior videos, with guys like Ben Shapiro and I don't know if you've seen these videos. These guys constantly debating like feminists and fucking, the safe space people. You know, people want a safe space.
Yeah,
it's
we're in our safe space right now.
I'm not in my safe space. The only reason I'm safe is because Eric is a table between me and Eric. Eric was in prison for too long. You can't sit too close to him.
No.
Does he put his elbow over his food?
he showed up to the taping in a wife beater.
And some Dickies.
Is he trying to intimidate you? You're a white guy.
Hey, so what's going on with this car torching? Somebody tell me, Eric, what's up with this?
Nether Gotti and Vinny Asaro. I've kind of slipped off it. Roberto, you're probably on top of it a little more than I am.
Yeah. What happened was, I don't see that's where is Vinny, where is Gotti, the grandson, standing in as far as LCN goes? Because I don't think he has any. Because here he is
this
doing
is
an errand.
Grandson,
but,
right? This is John J. Gotti.
This is Peter Gotti's son.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so this is the youngest Gotti. He's the youngest Gotti brother, although he was actually younger than Frank, the one who was killed in the on the minibike. He's actually a younger brother. He was actually younger than him. This is his son, and they were all still living in that house. So I don't know what's really going on there. His father and the grandson, who was supposedly the big-time fucking Percocet dealer, they were all living in the same house, in the grandmother's house, where, you know, the original John Gotti lived. And here he is at 18, right? He gets involved in being like an errand boy for fucking Vinny Asaro, who, from what I understand, was doing such a broke stuff a few years back that he was scared they were going to take his button away. It's like he wasn't making enough money. He wasn't kicking anything up. I mean, yeah. I mean, granted, the guy was in his like late 70s, but he has enough balls to fucking get.
Sorrow's Bonanno, right?
Yeah.
So,
but seriously, but yeah, he's Bonanno. But here he is. But here is his Gotti, the grandson, doing as an errand boy a favor for a brokester Bonanno, fucking family guy that really was nobody to begin with in the first place. Like, how far down the ladder do you
come
get
on,
to
man?
Now?
Lufthansa heist. He's involved in the Lufthansa heist.
Oh,
what's
come on,
with
man.
You?
I guarantee he got $3 out of that in some spare change. Even he got taken by a fucking Mick, man. What does that tell you? I mean, come on.
Got
you got
money.
Okay. The Italians got robbed by the Irish, man, on that one, man. They got totally fucking taken. And but the funny thing is that that guy is sour. I feel for him, man. I mean, when he first got busted, I mean, he couldn't afford his teeth. He had no teeth in. I mean, that is really what happens to you as a gangster when you reach your 70s and 80s. You know, he never really made any big scores. He never really, you know, Sonny Francese, man. Let's face it, he was in his 90s when he took his last bust. I mean, he was shaking down a pizza joint.
Hold on one second. Is this Frank DiMatteo?
It's me.
What's going on, brother?
I'm good. You guys?
Hey, oh, so your mom was able to get you through. Good.
My mother got me through. She busted my chops for the last hour and a half. Yes.
Hey, Michael's actually going to be calling in about 15 minutes, Frank. And I know you wanted to talk to Michael. So he'll be on in about 15 minutes from now.
Okay. So should I call back?
No. I mean, what's going on with you? You're Frank DiMatteo. We're not hanging up on you. We're going to talk to you.
Okay. No, Michael's your guest. Michael's your guest. I'm just barging in?
You're more than welcome, brother. I love interacting with your mom every day, man. She makes my day. She's hysterical.
She keeps us on our toes. She does keep us on our toes.
I'm sure she does, man.
We're trying to get the ticket money to get her to Florida to get out of our hair for a little while.
For those of you at home that don't know who's on the phone, let me explain.
We can't tell the Lord we got no money. We have to walk around broke too.
Let me explain, guys, who's on the phone. Frank DiMatteo, author of The President Street Boy, Growing Up Mafia, is on the phone with us. He joins us now. We appreciate you calling in, Frank. Are you writing another book? Someone just said that the other day.
Yes, I'm writing a book. I'm probably almost halfway finished with it now. The Carmine Snake Pussycle book.
Okay.
So that should be interesting.
Nice. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, Frank, but I actually I work for Carmine. I'm his social media guy, so I talk to him quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That's cool.
I wish I was you.
So you're writing the book. Explain to us, like, what is this book going to kind of cover? What's going to be different about this book?
It's going to be historical. It's going to be mostly historical. We're going to go from the beginning just to show who Carmine is. Nothing blockbustering. You know, we spoke to his lawyer, and we spoke to, you know, we got okay. They said, well, we don't do nothing, you know, that we shouldn't do. And they gave us a green light. But, I mean, I met Carmine when I was younger. My mother knew Carmine when she was young. So we could throw some stuff in that we know personally. It'd be interesting, you know.
Absolutely,
it'd be interesting.
No, I was wondering. There's never really been anything on Carmine written specifically about him ever.
No. There's no books out on Carmine. There's always little, you know, stories here and there, but there's never been, you know, from the beginning to where he is now, and how he got there.
And there's not many pictures. So, there's not that many pictures of him either. It's really difficult.
Same ones over and over again. Same stuff that's on, you know, online you can get. You know, there's not much. You know, he was pretty private. And then he's been in jail forever. You know that?
Yeah. There's more pictures of him in prison. Those prison pictures with Anthony Center and whatnot.
My father's the same way, too. My father, there's no pictures of him when he was
five pictures of your dad.
Yeah, when he was older. And younger, when he was with, you know, when we were at the – If you look at the book, I guess I know you got your sort of line of basement book. If you look at the
film, I love that book. Yeah, I love that book.
My mother's in the pictures with everybody.
I know. That's why your mother was saying, your mother was telling me that she preferred the line in the basement to Grown Up Mafia because there was more pictures. I said, yeah, more pictures of you.
Exactly, more. Yeah, exactly. Went from 132 pictures to 20.
All right, hold on one second. We got somebody calling in. Let me see who this is real quick. I know this isn't Michael, I don't think. Hey, you're on the air with The Life. Who is this? 914 area code. Are you there?
That's
going
me.
Going once.
208.
Is that my mother?
Yeah. Who's this?
Yeah,
is this
your mom. You're in trouble.
Oh,
it's the Di Matteo
God,
family
man.
Reunion on The Life.
It's my mother. I knew
it. Listen, if I could find your father with a magnet with all the bullets in him, I could find you. Bye-bye.
Oh, God. She used to be, we used to call her Inspector. Yeah, we used to call her Inspector Chevert, my father used to call her, because she used to track him down everywhere he was hiding.
And she hung up on us.
Yeah, she hung up.
Yo, I'm telling
That's
you,
funny.
It's, I mean, there's something about Italian women, man. My ex tracked me down one time from a piece of fingernail polish that she found on the rug of the passenger side of my Cadillac back in the 80s. I mean, this thing was way before CSI. I don't know how
my mother was the best. We used to have meetings at the house. My father used to forget everything. And my mother used to go upstairs and listen. Let's put her ear on the floor and listen from the second floor to the first floor. Because we had a spiral staircase on the water. And she used to listen. Then my father would be finished. Because, where are we going? What's that got to go? Where are we going? Who are we meeting? My mother used to tell him, you know, what the story was. She was bad. Always that way.
That's crazy. It's funny, though.
So when can we expect the new Carmine book? Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be out. It's going to be out. I think the release already is September of next year, 2018.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, so
and how are things going for you?
Real soon.
What are you
it's
doing
good.
Besides
it's
the authoring?
Yeah, I'm relaxing. It's the summer. I'm semi-retired or fully retired. I don't know what I am. So I'm home, taking the sun, and staying with the family and the grandkids. And then, I'm on a computer writing. I'm doing it, I did the Mob Candy magazine about 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
what about the magazine?
I did a new issue. It's called Pleasure Street Boys, the first issue. And it was, I think it was better than Mob Candy, but instead of going to the newsstand and stuff like that, put it online. And nobody wants to pay for it online. So what we're doing is we're trying to figure out if we're going to take it offline and we're going to go to print again. Even though if you can buy it online in a printed form, but it's double the price of, buying a newsstand. So they might love us, but they don't love us that much.
Yo, wasn't there controversy with that shit with Graziano's daughter?
Yeah, Graziano.
Candy.
Yeah, they stole it. Listen, when I first did this, I started this, we were drinking in a bar. And there was other people who had Mob Candy ready. There's a Mob Candy company ready. So, trademark the whole thing was just a pain in the ass. So we got trademarked as far as the magazine, but nothing else. So, just like we can't do candy, and they couldn't stop us from doing magazine, the same thing. They want to do jewelry, God bless you, do jewelry. To me, it never bothered me because every time they mention Mob Candy, they hit my site and I sell magazines. So I'm happy. I'm happy about it. Other guys get more upset. But, I got a staff around me that's really creative, man, and they broke their ass to develop this. And then you see people just, rob things.
Yeah, but the way she went about it, from what I understand, the way she went about it was real shady. Like, she, she asked, like she was interested
in doing
a photo shoot.
Her sister came. Her sister approached us, sat with us. She wanted to do something with us, and we explained everything we did. And then 6 months later, we saw they filed for Mob Candy with their concept of, T-shirts or shoes and jewelry, which is they died with it. So, it's just you should.
I remember they tried to go somewhere with it on the show, on the Mob Live show. They tried to do something with it. I know it didn't take off. I know it didn't go
nowhere. No, they died with it. They died because we sued them, and there wasn't enough money to collect for me to pay the lawyer.
Wow.
So what I do, I just say, I did it. I don't need to do that shit. I know who I am. I don't need that.
Yeah.
So I just let them keep on promoting it. If it's somebody promoting something that I, you know, that I get the in the back end, they go to my website and we sell some magazines. You know, so it wasn't the right thing to do. But what are you gonna do when you deal with these people? They're not, you know, they're not your regular people you can talk to. They're, you know, number one, they're women. I don't deal with women at all because they're all fucking nuts. So
I don't blame you. I know exactly what you mean.
With them anyway.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We just lost 2,000 female listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we love them, but I still don't want to deal with them. You can still love them, man, but you just have to deal with them.
We got to be politically correct, man. It's a safe space.
and then between all this crap, I get a phone call from a good friend out in Florida that says, do me a favor. He goes, everybody's bashing her. Can you get everybody to stop bashing? Because one of the Broken Notes guys wanted a favor. I told him, well, come see me. Tell this guy, come see me, and we'll talk about it. No one called. No one came to see me. So if it was so important for us, for me to help stop it a bit, I never bash nobody myself. You know, if you ever see a blog or a text from me, I don't do that. You know,
right.
I don't do none of that shit. You know,
super respectful. You've always been super respectful when you post.
Yeah, I don't play that. You know, I don't need to play that. Now, you know, I'm too old for that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want me to stop it, you come see me, man. Don't make some dirt party call me. But nobody came see me. I keep telling them, come see me. You know where I am. I'm all over the Facebook. I'm celebrity listings. Anybody can find me.
Yeah, it's nowadays with the internet. That's what you get now. You get third parties contacting people. I mean, it used to be like if you said something to somebody, you would find out about it when they came up to the, you know, they come up to the street, man. It was gonna happen. I mean, we both live in Brooklyn.
Exactly.
We know how that goes.
Yeah, they were all naughty. These people are naughty. I get threatened all the time.
Online.
Really tough. If I took serious every time in the last 10 years from Mark Candy to the book to everything that guy threatened, I would either be dead by now or be a lot of bodies around. But meanwhile, I'm sitting here still laughing. You know what I mean? So, you know, you just got to take everything with a grain of salt. Well, you know, it's like, you know, then you got to do it. Until they come. It's okay. Listen. Like the other guys
me and Jim are having a while back with him. We're not going to mention this guy's name, but got to the point where he was talking shit. He wanted to go in the ring with Jim as far as doing an MMA fight because Jim does some MMA fighting. And he was actually sending him selfies.
Really?
But remember that?
Flexing. He was sending me selfies flexing.
That's what it comes to these days.
Yeah. It was pretty much gay porn, Frank. He was sending me gay porn. Yeah. That's basically what he was doing.
I hear that all the time. Guys want to challenge guys to boxing and wrestling and stuff like that. What are you people for? You guys tell them, you look too old for that shit, man. I don't want to wrestle with nobody. My hands hurt. My back hurts. You know what I mean?
Hey, you guys,
fucking wrestling nobody.
Not to interrupt, guys, but we got Michael Franzese. Michael, are you on the line there, buddy?
I am, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you? I'm here with my co-hosts, Eric Smith and Roberto Falcon. Also on the line, he called in actually to talk to you a little bit, is Frank DiMatteo, author of The President Street Voice. He's on the line as well.
Hello, Michael.
Frank, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. And you?
Good. I haven't seen you, in 30 years, and all of a sudden I'm talking to you twice in the last few weeks, right?
Unbelievable. We're doing television, now we're doing radio. Man, we're going to become a team.
Who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought this? But, you know, it was great seeing you then. And speaking to you earlier today, I thank you again. You know, my mother wants to know if you want to, because she's driving me crazy. She wants to know if you want to trade. You take my mother and I take your father. She wants to go with you and I take your father. I mean, I can learn a little more and I can stay a little younger.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, that's something I might consider.
I don't know, I might get yelled at too much with your father.
No,
yeah, well, he's driving me crazy ever since he got home, I got to be honest.
I was just going to say, how's it going with him being there? I mean, I know, listen, you got your dad back after all this time. Obviously, that's amazing. How are things going with that?
You know, it's good. He's getting his, after all, he is 100. He's getting his health a little better than when he was in there. You don't get the greatest of health inside. So he's readjusting. But, you know, he's 100 years old. So it's a little bit tough.
Man. Is it,
yeah, Michael, by the way, I live in Greenpoint. So
somebody's radio.
Storm right around the corner. Yeah, someone's radio's on.
Yeah, it's not mine.
Frank, is that you?
I'm radio. I don't have radio. I'm on the phone.
Somebody's got some noise.
All right, it's off now.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, so anyway, Michael, I want to say I live in Greenpoint. So I think I'm pretty sure like I'm right around the corner from where your dad's
well,
at right now. Yeah.
He's on Union. Where are you?
Oh, I live on Manhattan Avenue and the corner of Greenpoint.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
no, you cannot go hang out with Sonny, Roberto.
I don't know if I keep up with him, man. He's 100 years old,
man.
I don't think I keep up with him.
Hey,
he's one of a kind, I got to tell you. He really is.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you got a podcast coming out, right? You got a podcast coming out, Michael.
Yeah, somebody just approached me to do it, and I've been thinking about it for quite a while, but it looks like I am going to go forward with it, so... seems like a good idea. You know, people, are always in touch with me wanting to know different things. So this might be a way to get some information out, you know, talk to people. I got a lot of things going on. So this is just something that I'll add to it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It goes to the radio again.
Yeah, the radio. I hear it.
Let me try something here.
It's gone.
Are we there?
It's gone.
Okay, that was Frank's line. I think Frank was talking to his mom in the background. He'll call back in. So when is the podcast?
Well, we just started. I'm actually going to be in New York within the next few days, and we're gonna do the first one. We may do a couple of them since the fellow I'm doing it with is in New York, so we might do a couple back-to-back and then introduce it in September, possibly a little earlier, but right now it's September. And, you know, guys, I got so much going on. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm producing a show in Vegas. And it's actually the history of the mob set to music and dance called The Mob Musical. And it's going to premiere in Bally's in November. So we're working hard on that. I got a movie coming out called Let There Be Light that's going to be released in November, I think, on 1,500 or 2,000 theaters. And believe it or not, I got an acting role in the movie. Don't even tell me ask me how that happened. But
who are you playing? Are you playing Michael Franzese?
No, I'm playing Pastor Vinny. So, but if you look at Pastor Vinny, it's really Michael Franzese. So I'm totally in character in the role.
Yeah,
but I got kind of hijacked into doing it, and we'll see how it turns out. I don't know. The jury's out.
Yeah, you're
gonna
get typecast.
Yeah, possibly as a mob guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but is there another movie I've been seeing coming attractions? Isn't there another movie, The Godfather or something? Something Godfather.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, God the Father. It's actually
God the Father.
Yeah, it's a documentary feature actually we premiered it in a couple of theaters and now it's going to get a wider release and you know VOD and DVD and all that stuff. So that'll be out probably in another 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, because that seemed really interesting. That seemed very interesting.
So you've got the documentary, God the Father. September will be your podcast. You've got November, Let There Be Light, which is a movie which you also are in, playing Pastor Vinny. You've got the Mob Musical coming up at Bally's in November. Tell us about the Mob Musical. Give me a timeline. What does it go through?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. You know, the a fellow by the name of Jeff Kutash, I don't know if you recognize that name, but Jeff had one of the longest running shows ever in Vegas called Splash. It was at the Riviera. It was there 21
Absolutely.
Years.
Yeah.
And the way that originated, I met Jeff back in 1983, and he was a choreographer on my movie Knights of the City. And he actually introduced me to my wife because she was one of his dancers, my current wife. And so we got together a couple of years back because when he did that show in the Riviera, he came to me and he said, Mike, the music is so great in this film. I want to take it to Vegas. And I actually made the introduction for him to bring Splash to the Riviera.
Nice.
And we've gotten together and he said, you know, let's do another project together. And we put our heads together and we came up with this. And basically, I'm going to be narrating the show. I've agreed to do it for 3 months. And we're going to be telling the story of how Vegas was created, essentially, by the mob. And, you know, how the kind of tagline is, you know, the mob created Vegas and then Vegas brought down the mob, you know, something like that. I don't know. He's doing all the creative stuff. But it's a dynamic show, and Caesars just loved it. And we got 22 scenes, a lot of dance scenes, some specialty acts, a lot of high-tech metro, multimedia. And I think it's going to be a good show. You know, you never know until you put it on and people buy tickets, but we feel good about it. We're also making a deal with the Mob Museum. We're going to be co-marketing, co-promoting together.
Right.
So it's an exciting project. We'll see how it goes.
So this is actually going to be more of Chicago stuff, right? I mean, we're talking Bugsy Siegel, obviously, is LA, but, I mean, New York. But so Bugsy going through to Lefty, like Lefty Rosenthal and all the way up through Anthony Spilotro, or is that what we're focused on, a lot of the Vegas guys?
A lot of that, yes. A lot of we're going to do Tony and a bunch of the other guys, you know. But, you know, in a way, I'm going to be telling a little bit of my story, but not much. But just the way we've blended it in is pretty cool. And again, Jeff came up with all that. He's the creative guy on this. But, you know, one of the selling points was the fact that, you know, I'm going to be narrating it for a while. There's the hotel like that, and they think they can promote that. So we'll see how it goes, guys. You know how these things are. They're you always put it together. You hope you did the best job, and people buy tickets. So,
I mean, that's perfect. You got the Las Vegas tie-in, the mafia tie-in. It's a musical. People in Vegas love those things. You got an actual, you know, Don as the voiceover guy in there. And you're smart. You did 3 months. That way, in 3 months, you can go back and say, hey, you got to give me more money.
Well, what we plan to do, because, you know, I can't be tied to a Vegas show that way, but like this other movie that I'm going to be doing is with Ray Liotta. So I'm going to speak to Ray. And what we'd like to do is have, you know, guest stars that have played mobsters in that role. So when I get out, we can get, you know, a guy in there for a month or two. And then I spoke to John Leguizamo. He's interested in doing it. So people like that to fill in for me, which, you know, bigger draws than I am. These guys are celebrities and stars. So if the show gets off the ground, that's what the, you know, eventually the plan is. So we'll see.
So the Liotta, when you mentioned Liotta in a movie, is that the Let There Be Light movie? Ray Liotta's in that movie as well?
No, that's another movie that I'm filming in the early September called, I think Mob Priest, something like that. And I'm not the Mob Priest, but the title is The Mob Priest, something like that. So
are you in that
movie
as well?
Agreed. I am in that movie. You know, I can't reveal the tagline on it and what I do, but it's kind of exciting.
Nice.
We'll see.
Man, you got a lot going on. That's crazy. How are you going to have time for a podcast?
Well, it's going to be cool. Let me tell you the last thing. I may as well get it all out, but I got two other shows. If you don't mind, I mean, I know this is not a, you know, a whole promotion for me, but if you don't mind, I made a deal with a company and we're doing a scripted series entitled American Royalty. And what it is, you know, people approach me all the time. They want to do projects about the mob, and a lot of them I pass on because, you know, it just doesn't fit into what I would want to do. But this is really cool because what I told these guys, I said, listen, the golden years of the mob in New York were from the 50s through the 80s. That's when all the main players were around, all the main business was around. And so we had our hooks from, you know, from the White House right down to the guy on the street, the numbers rackets, and everything in between. I says, and between myself and my father, we knew all the players because I was an active guy. I got around and I met all the guys. I did business with many of them. And my father certainly before me, you know, had his relationships with all the main players. So between the two of us, and he can't do it, but I will, we can tell the most authentic and real story ever told about this life in New York.
Absolutely.
I said, now, I don't want to do this as a documentary because documentaries have been done on different aspects of that life. But as a scripted series, I said, if you put me with a good writer, I guarantee we'll come up with something that's second to none. And so they loved it, bought into it. They're going to put me with writers from some of the top television shows. One of them, won't give you any, it won't mention the name, but I'll give you a hint. It just premiered Sunday night on HBO. So we're going to be dealing with that caliber of writers. And,
wow,
you know, guys, one thing I got to tell you, I don't know if you're into it, but I am absolutely fascinated by the brilliance of these writers today that I see on some of these series on television. It's It's just brilliant. I mean, the Breaking
Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, television.
Sopranos. I mean, Sopranos was my favorite show ever.
Television is where it's at these days, man. It's got way beyond the movies.
It's unbelievable. These guys are brilliant. Yeah. Game of Thrones. I mean, how do these guys come up with these storylines? Amazing.
Yeah.
And I told him, you get me with one of those writers, and we will come up with something that'll be in this genre second to none. So they're fascinated by it. They're actually, you'll see it. They're going to announce it this week. They're putting a big announcement out in the trades. And we'll see.
And you said it was American, Michael? Because you got cut out a little bit there. American Royalty
is the working title right now. They like that name, and they came up with that, not me, but I think it's suitable. It fits.
We got some callers on the line.
Metaphor for the mob. That's it, you know. Well, you know, the way they come up with that, I told them I was doing I was at a sports conference where we had all the pro sports, people were there from all the different leagues. It was about maybe 200, 250 people, and I was on a panel with an FBI agent, and we were answering questions from everybody. We both did our thing. And then one of the guys said, you know, what do you think the fascination is in the United States with the mob? And the FBI agent came up and said, you know, he says, I can only explain it this way. Europe has its royalty and America has the mafia. And
yeah,
I guess in a way he's right. Yeah. So when I told him, gave them that analogy, they came up with that name. So,
was this an FBI agent that ever investigated you?
Actually, he was, yes.
Yeah. That's fucking funny.
One of about a thousand.
Well, I'll tell you, not too long ago, I was at a conference. It was the Southern California Gang Conference, and there was 1,600 law enforcement people from all around the country, and we were talking about, you know, how to resolve some of the gang issues and so on and so forth, right? And guess who was my – I was a keynote speaker. Guess who was my second guy?
Oh, no.
Donnie Brasco.
Oh.
Joe Pistone.
Oh, my God.
Pistone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that guy, Michael? Give us some feedback.
You know, I'd be honest with you. If the two of us were sitting at a table and we started talking and you were a stranger came in and was asked to identify the mob guy, they would definitely identify him. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he acts more like a wise guy than I do at this point. I tease him about that, you know. But
this is probably a tough question for you, but let me ask you something. Give me a percentage. How much of his book do you buy, and how much of it do you think is a little extra that he's put on it?
Let me tell you this. This is the first thing I said to him. I didn't read the whole book, but I read excerpts from it because I always tease him. I said, you know what, Joe? I met you a few times on the street. Fortunately, I didn't do any business with you. I didn't like to do business with you back then. He laughs. But, you know, he's got in his book that there was a $500,000 contract on his head. And I said to him, Joe, come here. I got to talk to you. I said, I read this part of your book. I said, since when would any mob guy pay $500 for anybody to whack somebody? I said, that's our job. We don't get paid for that. We're commissioned to do that. This whole contract thing is the biggest
I always get a kick out of that when I see that in a book or in a mob movie. Oh, there's a standing contract. Oh, yeah, who the fuck's going to pay it? Like, oh, Nicky Scarfo is supposed to have a standing contract on Leonetti's head. Yeah, I go kill Leonetti. Then who's gonna? And where do I go to collect?
And let me tell you, there may be a contract.
Yeah.
But the payment on a contract is always zero. Remember that.
Yeah.
That's the only contract that you're assigned to do, and you have to keep up your end. That's it, or else the general public buys that, man.
Only that's just for general public consumption, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he laughed, you know, when I told him that. But, you know, it makes for good reading, and the people believe it, and that's it. But you don't get paid to do that stuff. You're commissioned. That's right. Your job, you know. If you get called upon, you got to do it.
Yeah. It's funny how those people do actually buy into it. They believe that. They do buy into it. They do, but they say, oh, so-and-so's got an open contract on his head. And then it's like, yeah, okay, so tell me exactly where. It's like not like a lottery ticket where you're going to go to the deli and say, look, I won the lot. I killed so-and-so. Look, I got the proof. Where can I cash this in? I almost laugh when I think that people actually buy into that.
I got to tell you guys something. I got chastised by Michael Franzese today. It was by accident, but it was actually pretty funny. He sent me a text message and told me that I wasn't allowed to buy anything or charge anything. I didn't know what he was talking about. He scared me for a minute. I thought I did something to make you mad.
No. What happened was, let me explain. My youngest daughter, she's 19. She has, she's got one of my credit. She got two of my credit cards because one of them is personal and the other one is a business card. But I told her you only use the business in an emergency. And I saw a $77 charge on there that she bought some clothes or something from the business account. So I said to her, you're not allowed to use that. I didn't realize I was sending it to you. So, yes.
But my message back was the best because I said, I'm really sorry, I won't charge anything else.
I know. When I read that, I said, oh, she's being nice. And then I looked and I said, wait a second, that's not her. No.
Hey, talking about TV and
you're
into TV. What do you binge watch? What does Michael Franzese binge watch when he's got time?
Well, I may as well, pitch HBO a little bit. I love Game of Thrones. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm hooked on that.
Did you ever try reading the books, by the way? Have you ever tried to read the books?
No.
Because I have.
I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that.
Not,
but I'll tell you what got me hooked. What got me hooked was Breaking Bad. I mean, that was just a brilliant series, everything about it. And,
Breaking Bad.
It was amazing. And then from there, I'm like a Netflix addict. I love Netflix, and I love all of these series that I can watch whenever I want to watch them. They're just great. But I just so appreciate the writing and the acting in these shows. It's phenomenal. You got to love it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I just watch – it's funny because I'm actually a pro wrestling fan, and they put out that Glow thing on Netflix, and I thought it was going to be kind of silly. I know the Glow girls because I've worked with them, but it was actually a really good show. It's crazy some of the – like you said earlier, some of the ideas that these people come up with. That's why I think what you're talking about with this new series, this American Royalty, I don't see how this just doesn't blow up, especially with the whole left. When Sopranos left, so many people loved that show. Then you had Sons of Anarchy, which was an organized crime show, and that's gone. And now they got this show if it comes out, and it's – involves you and your father. I mean, people are going to be all over this thing.
Well, and let me ask you this, guys. That's the scripted series I'm involved in. I'm also involved in a reality show, and I'll give you the premise. I was approached to do this, and I've said this 1,000 times. I'll say it again. I'll take it to my grave. My dad might have done a lot of bad things in his life when he was involved in that life. Who knows? But the crime that he was convicted of, the bank robbery charge, my dad was innocent of. He was no bank robber. I'll take that to my grave. I investigated that case. We spoke to every witness after the fact. They recanted their testimony, proved they lied at the trial. We gave him lie detector tests, proved they lied at the trial. We gave my father a lie detector test, clean. He never even met the witnesses. The whole bit, the worst frame up of anyone that I know in the last 40 years, and I can say that from experience. So the premise of the show is this, and each season is a different person, a different frame up. And the premise is this: the government, our government, never has a right to frame anybody, not even a bad guy. They have enough tools and weapons to go out and investigate and charge somebody the right way according to the law. And you can never allow a legitimate democratic government to go out and frame people with false evidence and false testimony and so on and so forth. Because if they could do it to the bad guys, then one day they'll do it to the good guys to serve their own agenda. And we can't allow that. And I know that's tough for people to understand sometimes because, hey, well, the guy did this and he got that and he got away with it. Well, don't blame him. Blame your government for not investigating it properly and not doing the right job to bring this guy down. And so I'm going to narrate it. I'm going to tell the story, obviously, with my dad. It's I have intimate knowledge of that. And it's not only about the person himself, but, guys, I say this. Because of that frame-up, my father might have went to jail later on. Who knows? Probably would have, like I did. But that frame-up destroyed my family. I mean, my sister dies of an overdose of drugs at a young age. My younger sister dies of cancer at a young age. My brother's a drug addict all his life, ended up in the witness protection program testifying against his father. My mother's without a husband for 33 years. The end of their relationship I can only describe as ugly because she blamed him for everything that went wrong in our life because of all the time he did. And really, I'm the only one that you know, was able to live somewhat of a normal life. So it was destructive not only to my dad, but the entire family that suffered over it. So, you know, and we've now uncovered a number of cases, one of them in Boston, where the FBI framed somebody, a group of people, and they ended up, after the evidence came out that it was a frame-up, they ended up suing the government, and the judge awarded them $600 million, and they actually collected on it. So these
things go on. Is that the Peter Lamone case?
That's right, Lamone.
Yeah, with the patriarchal family. Where,
exactly.
Joe Barbosa, he framed them.
You're exactly
the FBI,
right.
Yes, and that was insane, the amount of money that they paid out. And then he went on to become the head of the patriarchal family after he received that settlement, which to me was even crazier. But that
was
true.
Crazy.
Yeah, they got framed. Four guys who had nothing to do with one another. Barbosa places them all in the same car just because the feds just wanted to have a hard on for those four guys. They were trying to break the back of the mob back in the '60s in Boston,
yeah.
And puts those four guys together. Has Barbosa. I don't even think they had anyone corroborating his testimony. And boom. I mean, two of them died in prison, and Lamone did 30-some-odd years. The other guy, Salvati, I think it was, he also did over 30 years. I mean, and it's and yeah, they got that big chunk of money, but, I mean, it's not worth it. I mean, I don't think anyone would say.
Let me ask you this, Michael. Would that at all fix everything that happened with your family? If
not
they said,
all.
Hey, here's $600 million, would that fix your family, Michael?
Not at all. I mean, first of all, they collected, I think, $111 million because they didn't put something in time to collect it all. But it didn't matter.
Wow.
But they collected over $100 million. But absolutely not. I mean, how do you,
right.
You know, how do I get my sister's life back? My brother. I mean, my
right.
Mother's passed away. You know, I can't even.
And plus, you
I
know, that whenever you hear those, yeah, I don't want to interrupt you. Whenever you hear that phrase or the government, oh yeah, but you know what? So what about look at all the other shit he got away with? It doesn't matter. When they put you in prison for something, they should put you in prison for the crime that you specifically they're accusing you of. Not like, okay, well, we can't get them on this, so we'll.
Oh, I
yeah,
think
and
we
the
lost
reason,
Roberto.
And the reason being, what would stop the government from framing somebody for their own purposes? Maybe he's talking against the government. Maybe he's not a criminal, but maybe he's doing something they don't like. You can't give the government unlimited power over people. You just can't do it. And this is a perfect example. And guys, look. I don't know how familiar you are with these racketeering laws. Do you know how one-sided they are for the government
Very.
Against the defendant? You know how difficult they are to defend? The government has all the tools. If they can't go out and get you legitimately according to the law that Congress puts into effect and enacts, then I'm sorry. Then that safeguards all of our citizens if we keep the government in check. That's all I'm saying, and that's the premise of the show. And there hasn't been a better time in my lifetime to present something like this because people are all disillusioned with government anyhow right now.
Yeah. I actually have done some federal time myself, and actually at Terminal Island where you were at. And, you know, once you're in federal holding, I wasn't granted bond. So, you know, I sat there for 2.5 years fighting my case, putting in motions. You put in a motion, they put in a superseding indictment, and,
exactly.
You know, they wear you out. And, you know, it's you. I mean, it says right on your indictment, you know, your name versus the United States of America. And they're definitely stacked against you. I had a cellie that, I mean, I read all of his paperwork. He did tons of appeals. They did the Freedom of Information Act, and the FBI had a paid informant that was bringing them drugs, all kinds of stuff. And they let him go. But part of letting him go was he could never file a lawsuit, et cetera, et cetera. So he could have sat there and, you know, fought his case out and got freedom, you know, 2-3 years later. Or he could have, you know, got the immediate freedom and signed over, you know, his right to sue the government, which is what he ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
A very good friend of
mine.
Well,
you know,
so.
Well, one way or the other, they're going to wear you down. Listen, I sat on trial for 7 months in the Giuliani case when they indicted me. And, guys, I don't mean this to say this. Look, I did plenty. I went to jail for a crime that I was guilty of. I pled guilty. I did my time, whatever. But that other case with Giuliani, I had as much business being in there as you did. And I sat there for 7 months. It cost me millions of dollars. And I ended up getting acquitted, you know, but still, look what it cost me. I had to pay for some of my co-defendants. It was a bad case. And they just figured, hey, we throw enough against the wall, maybe it'll stick. And
you
got to fight like that for your freedom at that point. It's wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the other show I'm involved in. It's called Once Upon a Crime. And that's picking up
steam. Is that a weekly series or going to be – how's that going to work out?
It's going to be a weekly series, and it'll be 8 episodes. Right now they have it scheduled for 8 episodes a season. So we'll see how it goes. Again, you know, we'll see how these things go.
Like,
hopefully they'll get an audience.
A passion project for you.
It is for me. Look, you know, I would love for people to understand what happened with my dad and what they did to him. And you know, the whole thing for me is, yeah, it's a little bit personal, but it's really more about holding our government accountable in cases like this. And this, so look, if you do the research, you'll get sick of some of the things that you see happen to people. Forget about people from the mob, okay? You may justify a little bit, well, they're in the game and, you know, these things happen. But I'm talking about legitimate people that have no past, that the government just destroys their lives. And it's not allowed. This is not allowed. We live in a republic and a democracy, and these things are not supposed to be tolerated.
Absolutely. Well, I can tell you this on behalf of everyone else. We're really glad your father's home. I'm glad that you get this time with him. I know it's, you know, too little, too late in some sense, but at least, you know, he's there, and we're happy for you on that end. And I hope that you're
very
able
much
to,
so.
To get, you know, a lot of time spent with him.
No, I appreciate that. You know, for me, it's just all about him spending his last years with his kids and his grandchildren and his great grandchildren. Because, you know, I tell you this too, guys. Again, my dad did what he did in his life, but nobody would want his life in the last 50 years. It's been that rough on him. You know, 38 years in prison, the losses of family he suffered, everything. That the guy went through so much. It's amazing that he's still alive and kicking, honestly. Goes to show you how strong he is mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, very strong.
And let me ask you something while we're talking about this in prison and age. Eric and I were talking about this on the way to the car. We drove from Sacramento to Stockton to the studio here. Joe Lombardo, who I believe is like 87, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 86, 87.
They just moved him to Supermax.
Yeah, ADX in Colorado.
Is that a little overkill for a guy that age, do you think? Or do you think maybe there's something there that we don't know about?
Overkill. You know, guys, I did time. I did my 8 years. I was a young guy. You know, I was in the, you know, prime of my life, so to speak. And it's tough enough to do prison at that age. And when you're young, you put a guy in there, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's tough, man. I'm telling you. I mean, what do you think guys are going to do in there? There's nothing they can do. And why do you want to punish a guy but putting him in a place like that? I mean, it's, you know, there is a part of being humane in life, and there's no reason for it. There really isn't. It's overkill. You know, I don't know what lesson they're trying to teach him or what statement they're trying to make, but it's unnecessary. Jail is jail. You know, I don't care if you're in a camp. It's still prison. You lost your freedom. You can't go out, and it's tough. You don't need to go overkill.
Absolutely. Hey, is it okay, Mike, if we take a couple phone calls here? We got a couple people online that want to speak with you, I think. All right, here we go. I'll take this first call. All right, this is 262 area code. You're on the air with The Life and Michael Franzese. Who's this?
Olivia.
Hey, what's going on,
Olivia?
Olivia,
hi.
Hi. This is all so crazy. Hi. nice to meet you.
Did you have a question for Michael Franzese?
Oh, sure. What's one thing you like to do in your spare time?
Well, Olivia, first of all, my granddaughter, Olivia, she's my pride and joy, so I love that name. But that's true. I have very little spare time. The spare time that I do have, I love spending with my family. I have a bunch of kids and grandkids, and I love the golf. So those are kind of my priorities in my spare time.
Oh, that's really sweet. Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Olivia?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Is this your first time listening to the show?
Yeah, I was going to listen to it last time, but I had something important to do, so, you know.
Oh, wow. More important than the show? What kind of response is that?
Olivia's my friend from Facebook and Instagram, by the way.
Okay, she called in to talk to Roberto.
That's right.
Roberto's a meathead, Michael. He's one of those big buff Brooklyn guys. All the girls love him.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah, it's one of my fan club calling in.
All right, Olivia, thanks for calling in. We appreciate the call.
Good to hear you, Olivia. Spoke to you soon.
Thank you.
Area code 331, you're on the air with the Life.
Hi.
Hey, who's this?
Yeah, it's Alexei Ivey from the commission. You hear me?
Hey, how's it going,
Hey,
Alex?
Alex, it's Alexis.
How you doing, my friend?
How are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Let me tell you something, my friend. I want to congratulate you, all of you, for the show. It's a fucking great show. And I want to say to
you.
Michael Francis, you hear me?
I hear
yes.
you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Your father is a good guy. I mean, he's a fucking outstanding guy. That's all I have to
say.
Well,
thank you very much.
And let me tell you something, my friend. I want to say to Patrick Murphy, I know he's listening now, and I want to say to him that he's going to be sent for, and nothing good happens to him. Because I stuck up for him all the way.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Alexis. We appreciate the call.
I have to say hello to all my friends in the commission and every group I am. So take care. And
right.
Have a good day or evening. I don't know. I'm from France. So it's now it's 2:30 p.m. in the evening, you know. So I'm going to sleep now, and I want to say thank you. It's a really great show, and I love it, and I keep listening. Voila.
Thanks, Alexis. We appreciate
thank you, buddy.
Calling
thanks
everybody.
A lot, Alexis. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Take care, guys. Take care.
All right, guys.
So how are they hearing the show in France?
Yeah,
so we're on
France.
The internet as well, so they can hear everything all over the
oh,
world. They can hear us. Yeah, so we're going to take one more call before we – with Michael still on the line, and then we'll take some more calls after we let Michael go. This is 917-417, you're on the air with the Life. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Michael Mafucci from the commission.
Hey, how's it going, Michael?
Hey, Mafucci, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you, man?
What's going on,
hey, what's
brother?
What's this commission? What's the commission?
The commission is it's a Facebook group, Michael, of about, I think we're at 14,000 people, all, you know, mafia buffs and mafia historians, and we share stories. And
There's you know, people that were in the Life as
yeah,
well on there.
Frank DiMatteo's in the group. Frank Collada's in the group. It's just
okay.
A place where people can meet and talk about organized crime and the mafia. And, you know, we talk about your book. We talked about your podcast. There's some stuff in there. That's how we found out about it. So a lot of these people are in this group.
That's the premier
yeah,
one.
It's a little, more serious than the average Facebook
yeah.
group. No memes. No
yeah.
bullshit, no garbage. It's more, you know, so slightly more educated people who went to the mosque.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So, Mafucci,
okay.
No.
What's going on, Mafucci?
Hey, it's probably the only commission that's actually left, from what I imagine.
Yeah.
But anyway, Michael.
Hey, Mafucci's actually an actor,
yeah.
by the way. He's an actor, too.
He's
a big Guido-type mob, stereotypical actor. So
that's what I played, an Italian-looking male in black suit. That was my role.
Did you have a question for Michael?
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, Michael, first of all, best wishes to your dad. Hope he gets to spend the rest of his life, you know, happy and comfortable and all that. Was wondering what he thought nowadays about you going around the country telling all the great stories that you tell. What does he think about that?
Well, you know, he's okay with it. You know, he and I had our differences when, you know, I first stepped away and I had a lot of trouble. And, you know, he wasn't happy about it, obviously. And for about 10 years, we didn't talk because, you know, one of the things that happened with me, the FBI, when they were trying to pressure me into becoming a witness and going into the program, they were putting my name on the witness list of a number of trials that were coming up in New York. So even though I was telling my father, you know, I wasn't going to hurt anybody because that wasn't my desire at all. Nobody believed me because they kept getting discovery on all these trials. And then my name was on there attached as a witness. But so after years of these trials going on and I never showing up and I never testified against anybody, you know, he sent for me when he was out on parole. And we got together after 10 years. And we really had a heart-to-heart, and I explained to him, I said, Dad, listen, I'm not going to hurt anybody, but, you know, you don't realize this life destroyed our family, and I'm not going to allow it to happen to mine. And that's the bottom line. And, you know, hopefully you can accept that. I love you, and I know you love me, and let's move on. And that's really how it went down. And, you know, he and I have been close ever since, and he's not troubled by it anymore. I think at one time it bothered him a little bit, but now he even tells me, you know, I heard you were talking. Why didn't you say this? And why didn't you say that? I said, well, Dad, I can't remember everything. Tell me what you want me to say next time. You know, after he read my book, you know, he said, you know, you should have put this in and that in. I said, well, Dad, next time I'm going to consult you. You're going to be an advisor to me on the next book I write. So it's really been great. And, I've learned one thing. My dad and I always had a very deep affection for one another. I loved him. He was my idol growing up. He taught me well in so many different things, so many different phases of my life that, you know, that I attribute to him, you know, in many ways. And it was really hurtful to be separated from him. But, you know, I found out a child wants to have a reason to not love their father. And my dad never gave me one, no matter what. He was always a great father. So I appreciate it. And I just want him to live out his final years and be happy.
Absolutely.
Oh, very good. Do you mind if I ask one more question?
Do your thing.
Sure.
Hey, Michael, there's a lot of people out there who are a little skeptical about the touring, the Christian speeches that you give. You know, people think it's just a scam. You're just doing this to pocket money. What do you say to people like that?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. And, you know, I'm pretty good, but you can't run a scam for that long when everybody's watching you and everybody is watching me. And I want to tell you this, and I want to state this definitively. I am a strong person of faith. Okay, I love God. I love the Lord. I think that he has given me a different purpose in my life, and it's played out for me in every respect. And that comes first in my life because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. I'd either be dead or in prison. And quite honestly, that's what I deserved. I mean, look, I was a mob guy. I spent 20 years in that life, and, you know, I take responsibility for what I did, and by the grace of God, I'm able to do what I do now. Do I get paid? Yeah, I get paid for speaking. The same way a pastor gets paid for running his congregation, I get paid for writing my books. I get paid for selling them. But I also do a lot of work, you know, from my heart. I work with all these juveniles. I don't get paid for that. I go into prisons, you know, all the time, and I speak to inmates. I give back. I don't get paid for that. So I do a lot of stuff, you know, from my heart, and I do a lot of stuff to support my family. And, yeah, there's always going to be skeptics, but let me tell you some guys. In this life, you have to have deep, thick skin. When you know you're doing the right thing, you know you're going to get criticized, and I accept it. People have a right to judge me in their own way, but I don't let it bother me. You know, enough good has gone on in my life over the past 20 years, and hopefully that'll keep going, you know, for me. And so far, I have no complaints. And what more can I say? You know, and it's usually the mob Absolutely. Guys, the bloggers. You know, it's funny. I'm glad if the members of this commission have a little knowledge, understanding of the life, that's good. Because I read some of these bloggers, and it's so funny. I mean, they're trying to impress other people and make them think they know about the life. And the things right. they say are just so ridiculous and so absurd. They have no clue. They read the newspaper. They think they get information from television, all that stuff, and they have no clue, and they're trying to show other people that they're smart. And I see so many things about me that they make me laugh. It's so funny, you know? So if your group is, you know, beyond that and they're knowledgeable, it's great. Because, look, I'll tell you this. I have spoken in Singapore, and I do secular events, too. I've spoken in Singapore. These are ticketed events where people actually buy tickets to hear me speak and do my thing. Singapore, Australia, Malaysia, Israel, England. I did a 14-city tour in England earlier on. I never realized when I was part of this life just how intriguing it is all over the world. I mean, it's amazing. We go to places, and I go up there and I speak. I don't sing and dance, and we sell out these houses. It's unbelievable. And I never realized it. I never realized there was that much of an intrigue with this life. And that's not thanks to me. That's thanks to the media. That's thanks to movies, to television, to, you know, all the things that have played this life up to a degree. I go to Singapore. We open it up for a Q&A. You got to listen to this. My hosts there tell me, Michael, we got to open it up for a Q&A because we promised our VIP ticket holders. Hey, no problem. They said, but listen to me. Singaporeans don't ask questions. So we might put a shill in there, ask you one or two questions, and that's it. I said, great, we'll go home early. You know, no problem.
I'm in there, guys, I kid you not, we were there for 2.5 hours.
Wow.
They were asking me questions about Gotti. Where is Jimmy Hoffa buried? You know, Paul Castellano, have I ever been to Sparks Steakhouse? And I'm saying, where do these people get this information? How do they know all of this? They're asking me about the movies, about God. It's unbelievable. And
hey,
it
where
happens
is Hoffa
everywhere.
Buried?
Oh, I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you this. I've been asked, I'm asked that every time, but I'm going to tell you this.
Wow.
I'll tell you, no, I got to look, when you ask me something, I got a story for everything. Sorry, but I'm going to go into it if we have time.
Oh,
every
God,
time
please.
I'm asked.
We got
I'm
time.
Asked all hey,
if
the time,
it ends with where Hoffa's buried. Body is, I'm ready.
Oh, here's the thing. I'm asked where Hoffa's buried, and my standard answer is, listen, he's not in the Meadowlands, and I guarantee you they'll never find his body.
Wow.
Now, I said, I had nothing to do with it. Don't get me wrong, but you hear things, you know, and I happen to have good information. Now, if you remember about 1.5 years ago, I think 2 years ago, some guy was in the can, and he was writing a book, and he said he's going to reveal where Hoffa was buried. And
oh,
very
yeah,
smart
yeah.
guy, and I'll tell you why. Yeah, so he tells the FBI. The FBI says, oh, we got definite information from our source, and they go and bulldoze somebody's house in the back. The guy said, this is where the guy is buried, right? So I start getting texts and emails and, hey, Michael, looks like you were wrong. They are going to find his body and blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey, let's wait and see. Let them dig up the yard. Let them do what they got to do. Call me after it's done. They didn't find his body, right? But the guy was smart because he sold a ton of books.
Yeah.
You know, he was smart. He put the word out. But, guys, I'll tell you this. They will never find Hoffa's body. You can bet your life on that. Never.
That tagline has appeared on so many books since the 70s, since I first started reading my books. And I'm surprised that still, even when Ralph Natal, that complete jerk-off, wrote that book, yeah, even he tried to use it, the Hoffa line on his as a tagline on his cover. I mean, it's amazing how people still want to know. It's still like a huge factor in like...
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Mafia.
I mean, it's the biggest mystery in mafia history, basically.
Exactly.
Where's Hoffa's
yeah,
body,
would they,
you know?
Would you think that they'd be aware of that in Singapore?
No.
No.
Jimmy Hoffa?
No, but it's huge how... No, the mob is huge everywhere. It's, look, I'm shocked when people in Idaho want to know about it. And I live... tell people you live in New York, you live in Brooklyn, right away they think like, oh, my God. You know, all about the, you must go by Sparks every day, or you know, Jimmy. You know, they think you know all this mob information just by osmosis from living in Brooklyn. And I'm shocked that people even in the Midwest want to know about it. But it does not surprise me that Singapore, no, not at all.
Forget the Midwest; it's everywhere. You know, when I had to go to Australia, I did a speaking tour there. They gave me a really hard time to get my visa. Right, took me months and months and months. So finally, I get my visa. Same with Canada. They really gave me a hard time. I got it eventually, but it was tough. So I get to Australia, and I get a message. You know, the guys from Calabria are pretty strong in Australia, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I get a message. Yeah, it's the Calabres that are over there, and they're pretty strong. So I get a message when I get there from, you know, one of the main guys. He's got a big restaurant in Sydney. So he sends me a message. He says, Mike, come to the restaurant. He says, you know, you're going to be my guest and all of this kind of stuff. And I said, hey, it just took me 6 months to get a visa. All I got to do is show up at your restaurant. That'll be it. I said, I got a better deal for you. Buy a ticket and come and see me in the show. But,
hey, guys, we got one more.
We have many members. There are many members from Australia. They
one more caller we're going to bring on with Michael. And this is the 908-418. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Who's this? Hello?
Who's this?
This is Akbar.
Oh, goodbye, Akbar. Akbar has been hung up on. Hey, Michael Franzese, we are looking forward to your podcast coming out. Hopefully, I think you said September. We've got Let There Be Light coming out in November, a movie starring Michael Franzese as Pastor Vinny. We also have his mob musical that's going to be starting at Bally's in November. He talked a little bit about that. Don't forget God the Father, the documentary coming out. There's a scripted series, American Royalty. By the way, I'm going to run out of breath talking about all the stuff that Michael Franzese is doing. He must be exhausted. That's going to be coming out soon. Also, Once Upon a Crime, which is signed for 8 episodes a season, and it's going to be talking about, as Michael said, a lot of true crime stuff. So, Mike, thanks for stopping by. I can't wait for your podcast. We appreciate you being a part of this show, and hopefully we'll have you on again as well. And congratulations again on having your dad back in town.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And I got to tell you, you guys are very enjoyable to be on the air with. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And anytime, just get in touch.
Thank you.
Great talking to you. Maybe
just
I'll
don't,
see you dad
just
around
don't
the
text me and reprimand me for using your credit card.
All right. No problem.
Thank you, Michael.
All right,
talk to you soon,
take
buddy.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Michael.
All right, there was Michael Franzese part two, and man, he's a good sport. All these people calling—I don't know who Akbar was, but I got to bet that it's Graziano, because he knew we weren't going to let him on any other way.
That guy, no, he was—that was bad news. I got a bad vibe out of that.
Yeah, absolutely, because it was so weird. Hey, is this Frank DiMatteo?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so you're back on. So we had a bunch of people call in, and then they kept hanging up, and I lost track of your number here in this little queue thing. I'm trying to do all this myself. I'm not very good at it.
It's okay. It was so enjoyable listening. There's not more I can do to top that conversation. It was a great conversation.
I just want to get you back on one more time and just make sure I clarify the name of the new book and when it's coming out.
Okay. The new book is called Carmine, the Snake Persico. It's coming out in, I think it's September of 2018.
And that'll be available.
Oh,
I know
good.
I see your book all the time at Barnes & Noble, so it'll probably be in there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Amazon.
Keniston picked it up. It's the same company that did my first book. So
nice.
It'll be available then. And I just wanted to comment on Michael. Michael is, you know, just very sincere what he does. I was just with Michael about 2 weeks ago, and he's a real sincere guy. And when he speaks, he doesn't bullshit nobody. And it was a pleasure being with him 2 weeks ago.
So you don't buy the fact that some people think that it's BS. You think he really is about what he's talking about. I do too.
I know he's talking about, because Michael knew my father well, and you know we come from the same place, and
right.
He sure the hell wasn't bullshitting me because we spoke personal. And
yeah,
I know he's serious. So, yeah, not 110%. It's 110%. No, not at all. I wouldn't jump. You know, at any think of it, second thing at all. I mean, it's just 110%. He's a real good guy. You know, he's trying to make the best of his life after having, you know, he got the second chance at life. So, you know, no one lets it go the back. You know, in your first life, especially when it's got to do with gangster stuff. And hold on. Oh, my mother wants to know if you know Fritzy got home yet.
I don't know, actually.
I believe so.
There you go.
Yes.
Frank, will you stay on with us? We've got some other people calling in. Will you stay on with us while we take these calls?
I'm listening, man. It's a great show. I'm listening, definitely.
Yeah, stay with us. Don't hang up. 201-702, you're on the air with The Life. Who do we got here?
He's home. Hello, you motherfucker. You hang up on Akbar, you cocksucker. You motherfucker.
Goodbye, Akbar.
Here we go. 518, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, it's Nate Miller, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, it's finally a normal
person.
How
you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing? It's nice to hear from you guys. I was calling in because, you know, I was supposed to listen the last time, and I wasn't able to make it. So good to hear you, fellas. You know, I've been corresponding with Roberto like every other day. You know, I've talked to Jimmy a few times. So it's nice to hear you, fellas. Just calling in. Enjoy hearing you.
Absolutely. You called it a good time because we also have Frank DiMatteo on the line as well. So. And then, of course, Eric Smith's in here as well. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing, man. You know, just hanging out upstate. A little bit different up here than, you know, where I'm usually down in Brooklyn, you know. But I haven't been down there in about 20 years. You know, I go down and see my grandma and things like that. You know, talk to Roberto about that and other things. But,
yeah,
you know,
Nate Miller
knows
the Bass Beach area very well. He's the Bass
Beach
guy.
I do. But, actually, it's funny because I got my girl. She took my laptop on vacation, so I'm home all alone, and she saw that I was on my Facebook. She saw a tag at me in Brooklyn Bazaar, and she wondered what the hell I was doing at the Brooklyn Bazaar, so I had to tell her that, you know, my friends from my group tagged me on the podcast, so I couldn't get her pissed off, you know.
Yeah, Roberto's always tagging me and shit I don't want nothing to do with. My Instagram's blown up with this, what is it, Pain Chisel, or I don't even know what the hell it is.
That's my Instagram name, man. It's my Gmail. It's my email. Oh,
it's stupid.
Address.
Gmail.
Gmail, what?
No, pain is a chisel. It's a quote from a again, it's above your head. You'll never get it.
Hey, Nate, did you get to hear a little bit of the Michael Franzese interview?
Yeah, I did. It was good to hear. I just actually started listening when Mafucci called and asked his question, so it was nice to hear. He actually had a really good question.
Nice. Well, thanks for joining
so
late.
It's funny that he asked that question because to be honest with you, I actually was a believer. I thought it was my first instinct is to believe it was a scam, you know, because,
right.
You know, I was thinking any wise guy, it's just an ongoing scam. Everything's a scam. And to be honest with you, like, after hearing him now, and just, you know, so ever since I've, you know, and the things I've learned since I've first heard about it, I no longer believe in a scam. I do believe that he actually believes in what he's talking about. It's,
yeah.
You know, he's sincere in his beliefs. And I did. I was one of the ones who believed it was a scam. I did believe that at first.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, it's only that.
And hearing it from Frank, I mean, Frank DiMatteo hangs out with him. You know, he's spent time with him, so he's heard him speak. And I talk to Mike a lot. Me and Mike, we exchange text messages. As you heard earlier, he yelled at me and thought I was his daughter. But we do exchange text messages. And I find him to be a very truthful person. He kind of, even when we had him on before, you know, we asked him, hey, do you miss the life? And he's like, yeah, I miss the life. I miss the Jets. I miss the money. I miss the life. You know, he's free to admit that stuff. He doesn't hold anything back. He's not trying to be something that he's not, and that's what I respect about Michael Franzese.
No, look, I mean, we're all older at this point in our lives and everything, and get a good read on people. And, you know, I've been around a lot of people in my life, and he comes across very genuine. That's one of the things I like. Of all the people we've interviewed, he's my favorite. He comes across very genuine. He's going to tell you.
Yeah.
Unwavered opinion. This is how he feels about something. If you like it, cool. If you don't, he's not going to get butthurt about it.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, and that's how it is.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of, you know, and that's the other thing. He does do a lot of paid speaking engagements, but he went to Chicago recently. Everyone knows Chicago. They kill people for sport out there. And he went to Cook County and a lot of places around there, talked to the youth and everything. And, you know, this is all volunteered. He's not getting paid a penny to go out there and try and, you know, talk to some of these people that, you know, look, he might be white or whatever, but he's done his time. He's been to the apex of being a criminal, and it's not where it's at, you know, and he's volunteering all this time. So, I mean, if it's a scam, he's doing a lot of free work for nothing.
Absolutely. Hey, real quick, guys, we're only going to take a few more callers. Nate's still on the line with us. You can still call in 917-889-7061 if you want to call in, talk to any of us or talk to Frank DiMatteo. Frank, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Michael earlier. Joey the Clown Lombardo of the Chicago Outfit fame, former boss of the Chicago Outfit, some argue that he still is the boss, was just recently moved to Supermax, Colorado. Do you agree with that, a man that's 87 years old being put in Supermax?
Of course not. I got the same opinion. It's an overkill. You know, when you're in the system, you're a dead man, especially, you know, somebody as infamous as Lombardo. Nah, it's overkill.
Okay.
They do it to a lot of guys. They do it. You know, he's famous, so you hear about it. There's a lot of guys that we don't know, you know, not as famous, they do the same thing too. You know, we just don't know about it because, you know, we don't know the names.
Right. Well, this is a perfect time to ask you this question. You're writing this book, Carmine the Snake Persico. I'm in touch with Carmine. I work with Matt Mary and his lawyers. August 2nd is the actual date of Carmine's parole hearing. Keep in mind, everyone at home listening, Carmine is under old law. This law no longer exists. Carmine, by law, is supposed to get out at this parole hearing. They're looking for reasons not to let him out. Frank, do you think they should let Carmine out?
Of course. I think they should let him out. They let everybody else out. They left a lot of people a lot worse than him. You know, you do your time, you got to go out. You know what I mean? If you are eligible, you got to go. I mean, I think that. Do I think he's going to make his parole? I mean, my opinion, I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so because, you know, when they got a hard on for you, it doesn't go away.
Yeah. Well, I hope he gets out because I'm invited to the 86-year-old.
Was he 86 years old? Was he 86 years old?
Yes.
You know, they think he's, you know, 86-year-old, like a 50-year-old man. Just they did that to Sonny. Sonny was 93, and they gave him 7 years in jail.
Yeah.
You know, they're afraid. But
Michael brought up a good point, too. Like he said, like, you know, like, people get the general public says, oh, well, so what? Look at all the other shit he got away with. Who cares? And then, you know, he's you know, like they're making him pay now for, you know, allegedly crimes that, you know, they weren't able to convict him of in the past. by putting him in a Supermax at this age, and they're doing it. It's true because he's a name. He's a well-known name, and people it'll make the papers if they put him in there. And it's like if they let people get away with them doing it to them, to get these guys like this, eventually they can do it to anybody, and that's what people don't realize.
Well, he did have a point there. If you think about it, he did have a point. A good point he had. You know, they say you get away with things and you get pinched for something else. And yeah, he did got away with so much. Like you said, that's not the point. The point is, in our system, you got to get caught for what you do, and pay the piper. You know, and that's how it works. You know, he had a great point there. There's so many opinions. You know, there's so many opinions that what people think of gangsters don't. You know, I've been sitting around. You know, I'm 61 now. And I've been sitting around the last 10 years listening, you know, because I've been out of the life as long as Michael. And I listen to everything. And I'm stunned with all the stories and people saying things. But it never ends. And it keeps the good writing. It keeps the shows. It keeps us all going. But you're going to get that, you know. And I noticed that the people know less talk the most.
Agreed. And that's in pretty much everything. We got a couple more callers. A couple more callers here. I'm a little hesitant on this caller because it says 1111111. But maybe they're calling in from Google. Let's see if it's Akbar. You're on the line with the life. Who's this?
Hello, my friend.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's great.
We got one more caller there, guys.
Yeah.
216-216-777. Who's this?
Hi guys, this is Matt LaPreston. Actually, a member of the commission.
Hey Matt, what's going on?
Hey Matt, what's up?
What's up, man?
What's happening,
hey
Matt?
Guys, how are you guys doing tonight? I just I wanted to say a couple quick things. First of all, I thought Michael came through great. He actually, I really thought he was sincere, and I liked the way I didn't hear all of it. I liked the way that led into the end about you guys talking about the sentences and stuff. That was excellent, excellent conversation. I also wanted to say to you guys, not just great show, but you guys do a tremendous job of interviewing. All of you guys, in the way
you
do this. So you need to know that. And Roberto, that was great about Pistone and the $500,000. That was unbelievable, by the way. I just couldn't stop laughing because you're absolutely right. I can't tell you how many people I've tried to tell that. That's not what really goes on. The other thing I wanted to say was to Frank, if you're still on the line,
I'm here.
Your book is tremendous. Your book is tremendous.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it very much. I actually didn't know you had another one coming on the way. I'm looking forward to that very much. And I like what you had to say. You know, having your input here was very good because that helped verify a little bit, you know, my feelings on just, you know, what I was listening to. And, you know, your take on it was excellent, too. I just wanted to say
that
you guys
collaboration.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get. You guys are doing – if you guys could just have these guys on and just like, blah, 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 and not really. The point is, you guys are running it well. So this didn't sound like some, this is whatever. This was informative on a multitude of levels.
It's a Jim Cooley production, man. What do you expect?
I guess I expect nothing but the less from you guys. I don't expect anything. One more quick thing. As Roberto, some of the guys were friends with me now. I've been trying to take a social media break. I give up. It's impossible when you remember the commission. So I'm bad.
I feel the same way. So.
Yeah, Nikki Wilson's on the line, too.
It's basically, you know, when I'm sitting at UPS, it's basically the only thing I do when I'm sitting in my office watching my boys make sure they're getting their packages out on time. So it's pretty funny.
Guys, thanks a lot for even taking my call.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
I appreciate it. And you guys
thanks
were
a lot,
tremendous
Matt. Great guy, man. Great hearing from you.
Thanks, Matt.
You guys have a good one. I'll enjoy the rest
we'll
of the
talk to you soon, buddy.
You too, bud.
You got it.
Hey, Nick Wilson, we'll talk to you, or Nate Wilson, we'll talk to you too as well.
Yeah,
okay, buddy.
Fellas, thanks all for having me on for a little bit. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, buddy.
All right.
All right, guys, so that's going to be pretty much it this week. I want to do one thing, though, before we go. I want to invite Frank DiMatteo to be our guest on the next episode, the show all about you, all about your two books, your family, your father, and everything that's gone on with you. I would like you to be the focus of the next show if you're willing to do that.
I would love to.
Absolutely. So
I'm not as interested as Michael, but
Mike's not interesting. Just, you know.
Frank, we'll get some good shit out of you, man. Don't worry
about
it.
We'll
get some good
three
shit
TV
out of
shows.
Don't worry, we'll get through it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining in this week. Don't forget, guys, you can buy Tommy Karate artwork through me. Tommy wants me to let you guys know that he's doing a bunch of new stuff. Also, he sent me his new affidavit that they're sending out to the appeals court. His lawyer has just hired a soil expert. So Tommy is out there working his ass off to try to get this case flipped over. I don't know if it's going to happen, but Tommy thinks it's going to happen. And I got a lot of new information and paperwork that I'm going to be reading to you guys. Also, we're going to have Tommy in his own voice, in his own words on the next episode, is going to be giving you guys a message as well. Also, Carmine Persico, my good buddy, I really, really want to send good thoughts his way for August 2nd. It is his parole hearing. He's getting up there in the years. He has not met his grandkids. He wants to meet them. His granddaughter, Desiree, Matt, Mary, all the people doing the work to help get him out. I hope that happens. I know a lot of you guys listening aren't a big fan of Carmine getting out, a big fan of Tommy getting out. Tommy's a little different story than Carmine, but Carmine is my friend, and I hope the best for him, and I hope that he gets out August 2nd. You can
likewise,
still write those
likewise.
Letters. Yeah, likewise, and you can still write those
we
letters.
We hope so.
Find Free Carmine Persico on Facebook. That is mine and Desiree's group. You can also find us on Twitter to do that as well. My book on Tommy Karate will be coming out as well. I'm working on that. We got a lot of stuff going, guys. We'll see you on the next episode when our guest will be Frank DiMatteo. Big shout out to everybody who called in. Shout out to our guest, Michael Franzese, the Yuppie Don. Of course, Roberto Falcon, Biggie, Eric Smith, myself, Jim Cooley, Frank DiMatteo. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye. Take
I know care. You know where they are, so tell me. Before I do some damage, you won't walk away from it.
I'm going to make them an offer, Cam, with you.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Carry that stink of the streets with you the rest of your life.
I like the stink of the streets. It makes me feel good. I like the smell of it. It opens up my lungs.
I want you to get this fuck where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy boy, Elliot Ness. I want him dead. I want his family dead.
I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Now, if I ever, I mean, if I ever see you here again, you die just like that.
In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend.
All right.